Welcome to Simple Living Works, Episode 10. I'm Jerry Iverson. I'm pleased to be your host for Part 5 of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? Featuring the classic story of Jason and thoughts while not listening to the Christmas story. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, and effective lifestyle. Learn more about us in Episodes 1 and 2. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. In this episode, I present Part 5 of the radio adaptation of the well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? I hope you listen to the entire series, though each part is self-contained. Each part contains an audio short, plus real-life reflections on the Advent Christmas season by Esther Armstrong. We'll have numerous guests. What Does Jesus Want for Christmas? Is an alternative Christmas pageant, service, program, or event based on Carols with Justice. Thoughts While Not Listening to the Christmas Story is one of the scenes from that pageant. The carols in this episode are sung by recording artist Jill Miller and are available both as text and as a sing-along on YouTube. The tunes in the first stanza are well known. The additional stanzas were written by several social justice poets for this collection. See the link in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. This intergenerational event mixes brief scenes and carols, is easy to produce, and flexible in length. Any scene can be included or not. You're welcome to copy the free script and support materials on recycled paper. The purpose of this pageant is to avoid fantasy that passes as mystery at Christmas and to give a strong element of social justice to the traditional pageant.
Whose birthday is it anyway?
Welcome to Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? A radio magazine for the Christmas season from Alternatives for Simple Living. I'm Jerry Iverson. On today's program, we'll discover the tale, Jason's Birthday, with its classic punchline. We'll give you ideas for celebrating a simpler, more meaningful Christmas season. Stay tuned for two sets of reflections and real-life touching experiences. And thoughts while not listening to the Christmas story. Mixed in will be some well-known carols you've never heard before. First, let's hear the classic story of Jason's birthday. The classic story, Jason's Birthday, by the Reverend Arlie Fadness, is the inspiration for Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?
In the land of puzzling tales, there lived an 8-year-old boy by the name of Jason. Now, in this land and in the neighborhood where Jason lived, the unexpected always happened. Instead of football, they played kneeball. Instead of the children going to school, the teachers were busy going to homes. And in the summer, it was not uncommon to see water freeze, and in the wintertime, leaves grew on trees. It was a funny, strange place. One incident in the land of puzzling tales stands out. When it was time for Jason's 9th birthday, as usual, the unusual happened. Jason's grandparents came from their home across the state to help celebrate. But of course, when they got to Jason's neighborhood, they went immediately to the Browns down the street and visited and stayed there. When Jason's mother baked the birthday cake, she gave it to the letter carrier to eat. And when all the neighborhood kids heard it was Jason's birthday, they exchanged gifts with one another, and of course, Jason got none. There was a blizzard of birthday cards. The post office had to hire extra workers and work longer hours to handle the deluge of cards. Of course, in the land of puzzling tales, the expected was the unexpected, and all the kids, the moms and dads, grandparents, even a couple of dogs and a parakeet got cards, while poor Jason got none. Finally, about 9 o'clock, in a fit of frustration and anger, Jason went out of his house, borrowed the school cheerleader's megaphone, rode up and down the street on his unicycle, and shouted at the top of his lungs, "Whose birthday is it anyway?" And the night was so silent that all night long echoes bounced off the mountainsides.
Whose birthday is it anyway? Whose birthday is it anyway?
It is Jesus' birthday. Jesus ought to receive the gifts. Jesus said, Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. We give to Jesus when we give to the poor, the weak, the hungry, the homeless, the refugees, the prisoners. It will be a great birthday celebration when God's people begin in earnest to give once again to Jesus. For after all, it is His birthday, isn't it?
We're here to share with you ideas for celebrating a simpler, more meaningful Christmas season. Stay tuned for two sets of reflections and touching real-life experiences and thoughts while not listening to the Christmas story. Mixed in will be some well-known carols with fresh new words. We hope you'll get encouragement from the calendar for the week, taken from Gentle, Faithful Steps Toward a Simpler Christmas. December 26th is St. Stephen's Day, or Boxing Day. Many people give boxes filled with gifts to the poor, collect good used clothing, toys, and books for those in need.
December 27th, consider celebrating the African American tradition of Kwanzaa to emphasize community and family, regardless of your race. It runs till January 1st.
On December 28th, we remember the Holy Innocents. Due to Herod's wrath, the Holy Family became refugees. There are 12 million refugees in the world. Write down reasons why people become refugees, like war, poverty, etc. Give 5 cents for each.
December 29th, make a New Year's resolution tree. Place the end of a bare branch in an empty can and fill the can with dirt or newspaper. As you think of resolutions or hopes, write them down on slips of different colored paper and tape the slips to the branch.
The first Sunday after Christmas, also called Holy Family Sunday. Gather around the Advent wreath and share the reflection for this day from Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?
December 31st is New Year's Eve. Celebrate at a locally owned, preferably ethnic, restaurant. Participate in a non-alcoholic First Night's Eve.
January 1st is New Year's Day. On a piece of paper, write down 3 regrets or anxieties. Tear the paper into small pieces and throw the pieces in the air like confetti. Pray, thanking God for new beginnings. We hope those ideas are helpful. We'll have more on our next program.
The reflection for Christmas Eve is the Song of Love.
We have been wondering, when the bombs stop falling, when this particular war is over and before the next one begins, when this season of celebrating Jesus' birth is over, when the Christmas pageants are finished, will anything really be different? Will we, individuals, churches, ministries, peace and justice organizations, be better prepared and more committed to teach the way of Jesus, the way that is counter to the dominant culture, the way of love, nonviolence, justice, and peace? Will we have the courage to do what we have always been commissioned to do, that is, to live the way of love? If not, what's the point of being church, or calling ourselves disciples of Jesus, or bothering with Advent? Not long ago, we found ourselves simultaneously reading the newspaper and the Bible. At that moment, it became crystal clear that God put each of us on this earth to love. Love and all that it represents is the different way. We grow into love by first learning to love ourselves for who we are, warts and all. We grow into love by embracing the truth that we are already loved by God. We can't earn God's love. It just is. Loving ourselves and embracing God's love is, for many of us, the hardest work we will ever do. Some characteristics of love that we have experienced.
Someone took the time to be truly present.
There is no judgment. People are accepting for who they are.
Those offering love are rooted and grounded in God.
When necessary, forgiveness is offered.
There is no need or desire to fix or to change anyone.
There is an element of mystery, a purpose beyond and greater than ourselves.
Often love is most profoundly experienced within a small group or community.
Truth and vulnerability are offered and accepted.
At times, no words were spoken, as if the silence itself is love.
According to Jesus' example, to be present, forgiving, vulnerable, honest, and compassionate is love in action. Love seeks equality, justice, and peace through reconciliation. The longer we stay on this journey with God, the less complicated our theology becomes. This Christmas Eve, our theology can be summed up in a few phrases.
God is love. God's love is for all, everything, everybody.
God desires our love and wants us to love all.
Jesus is love. When we imitate Jesus, we also give flesh to God's love.
Very simply, we are to follow his example.
Love one another.
Questions to ponder. What does love mean to you?
When have you experienced love, and what did it feel like?
What commitment are you willing to make to become more loving? A real experience of the Song of Love.
They told me he was 8 months old, yet he weighed only a few pounds. He looked dead. A pile of bones with a thin layer of skin stretched over them. Every now and then, some part of his body would twitch, and I knew that life was still in him. I looked at the bracelet around his limp wrist. It had only the date he came in and his age. No one knew his name. I began to call him Baby Bones. I picked him up to feed him. He sucked eagerly like a baby kitten at its mother's breast. Less than a minute later, he could suck no more. He no longer had the strength to eat. I wished I had an eyedropper so I could squirt the food in his little mouth, just like I used to do with baby kittens. Where did this baby boy come from? Why was he given life in the first place? I symbolically anointed his head with oil and asked Jesus to give him peace. Returning to the Missionaries of Charity Home for malnourished children, the next day I found Baby Bones hooked up to a feeding tube. I wondered why. It seemed so obvious to me that he was only a few hours from death. Why not let him get on with it, I wondered. I asked this question of the volunteer doctor. He took my hand and led me to another room. He pointed to a crib where a tiny but vibrantly alive little girl was standing. She too looked dead when she came to us, and tomorrow she will go home. We are to love them into heaven or into life. I felt ashamed. Had I wished the baby dead for my own comfort? I went back to his crib and gently rubbed his paper-thin skin. This was my last day at the home for malnourished children. I don't know if the baby died. I suspect he did. But during his short life, he taught me that where there is life, there is hope. Where there is hope, there is faith, and where there is faith, there is love. I want to always err in the name of love.
Now Jill Avery and Dieta Riley share a carol from Alternative's collection of carols. You'll recognize the first stanza. It's the traditional opener.
Once in truth and justice welcome every human.
The reflection for the first Sunday after Christmas, or Holy Family Sunday, is called Giving Birth.
A time has come for the new to be born. God is with you. Do not be afraid. You have been graced by the Holy. It is true, we believe it, and it is also preposterous, outrageous, and scandalous. We are all favored ones graced by God. We are all pregnant with God. Birthing a baby takes 9 months. Birthing God takes a lifetime. God is always stirring, gestating, altering, and creating the new to be birthed in and through us. While we celebrate joy to the world, the Lord has come, we also know that birthing the new is not all sweetness and glory. It is hard, uncomfortable, painful work, an awesome task which needs tender nurturing and long-term care. Birthing God in our lives requires adjustments in the way we live life, new choices, new challenges constantly before us. Giving life to the God within is costly as well as joy-filled. It means giving up comforts and security. It means risk and change. It will constantly transform us in the most basic, fundamental ways. But why bother with all the commotion of the season if not for something new and beautiful? Why raise such a fuss over a baby born long ago if we don't continue to birth love? What good is it that Mary gave birth to Jesus if we don't do the same? We are all called to birth the divine, to help bring forth the dream of God.
To be people of mercy, kindness, grace, forgiveness, honesty, love, and peace.
To seek equality and justice for all of God's creation.
To love God, to love God's earth, to love God's people, including ourselves.
To cloak the earth with love and beauty. Can we dare to imagine what the world would be like if we all took seriously the call to birth the divine? So we pray and we invite you to pray, I am your vessel, God. Have your way with me.
Questions to ponder.
What new is stirring or birthing in you during the season of your life?
In the past 6 to 12 months, what have you created in and through and with God?
In what ways have you helped to bring forth the dream of God?
A real life experience, birthing God's dream of equality.
We had many conversations while on our trip of perspective in Calcutta, India, on whether we were rich or not. My processing went something like this. In many ways, we are all rich. In many ways, we are all poor. There are those who are materially wealthy while spiritually poor, or spiritually wealthy while materially poor. But let's not kid ourselves. There is a huge discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots. And until we are willing to start giving up our right to have everything we want, use all the resources we want, and start a systematic way of giving to the have-nots, the disparity between the rich and the poor will not change. We can play all the head games we want with these words. We can resent the use of these words to categorize and polarize people. But the truth is, I am rich, and that lady living on the street, outside my hotel window, is poor. If I get sick, I can fly home to quality medical care. If she gets sick, she will die. If I want to advance myself, I can accumulate more degrees. If she wants to advance, she will have to fight for and stake out a better corner to live on. If I want a new dress, I can charge it. If she wants a new dress, she will wait until she can beg, barter, or steal it. I must not play games with this one. I am a very rich woman.
And now, a novel, definitely non-traditional scene from the pageant, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas? Called Thoughts While Not Listening to the Christmas Story.
Caesar Augustus.
Yeah, I got a little puppy, really cute and soft and cuddly and lively, but now I've got to teach him to use the newspaper to be housebroken.
And all went to be
taxed. Oh, yuck. You mean,
everyone
oh, yuck. We're trying to toilet train my little brother. What a mess. My grandpa used to tell me stories about cleaning out the barn on the farm. Am I glad I don't live on a farm? That's gross. Farm animals? Yuck. Disgusting. Did you hear that?
So it was.
Jesus was born in a manger, a feed box, a cattle stall. Have you ever seen how much cows slobber? Who would ever let their kid be born in all that stink and stuff? It's not even sanitary. Yeah, he's lucky he survived. Sure glad nobody has to put up with that anymore. Well, at least nobody in America. Yeah, right. Did you see that new girl at work today? Yeah, a foreigner. One of them. She did show me some pictures of her kids. They sure are cute. Kids? How many? How old? She has four. I asked her how things were going, and she said money was tight. I think I'll look through my kids' closet and see if there are some clothes that might fit her kids.
Well, that's nice of you. I think I'll wait and see how I like her before I offer to help.
I guess we're supposed to love people, even if we don't like them. Let's see. I've got something for Jennifer and Angie. I need to run to the mall tomorrow and get the new salad shooter for Ruthie and the new computer game for little Ralphie. I hope I don't exceed the limit on that credit card again this year. That hurt. Maybe I could call and try to get raised again. I surely don't want to be a cheapskate like Jamie and give my kids and relatives handmade stuff. I'd never live that down. Homemade bread? Poetry? How old-fashioned? Coupon books for babysitting and lawn mowing? How juvenile. When there's so much new stuff to get and collect and show off and dust. That reminds me, I need to get a lock for my glass case. I can't take a chance on any of my prize plates being stolen, especially with those new people from Africa moving in down the street.
Swaddling clothes, rags, how primitive. And he sent them. Couldn't Mary have done better than that? No wonder Jesus grew up being an outsider. He didn't have the right clothes from the very beginning.
Shepherds, bet those guys had body odor. No wonder Jesus grew up being an outsider. He never did associate with the right people from the very beginning. He helped outcasts and lepers and women with low morals. No wonder the leaders got angry at him.
Now, let's see. I bought for three people. Two more to go. Oh, I gotta hurry. Dinner to get in the oven and a party to get ready for.
I saw a commercial about starving children on TV last night.
I did too. It was really hard to watch. Those bloated stomachs and those sad eyes.
My husband looked into the organization, and they make sure that almost all the money goes to help the kids.
I'm thinking about making a monthly donation to give food to starving children and to cut back on my Christmas budget this year.
We already did it. We even sent each person on our list a note telling them that we had made a donation to feed a hungry child in their name. That way, more people are thinking about it and getting involved.
I'm still going to think about it. It's a big change for us at Christmas.
I guess we're supposed to love people, even if we don't like them.
Oh, great. I've only got one more gift to buy. I'm not sure what to get for Melvin. He's got everything. Surely there must be something fun that I can find. Then off to sort and wrap and mail and hide the presents and decorate the tree and bake the cookies and go to the party and...
Go and search diligently.
Well, you'd better get busy, too. Are you any different than me?
That was Thoughts While Not Listening to the Christmas Story. From the pageant, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas? Now Jill Avery and Dieta Riley share a carol from Alternative's collection of carols. You'll recognize the first stanza. It's the traditional opener.
Silent night. So tender and mild. See.
On our next program, we'll hear the classic tale, The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge, as well as more reflections and real-life experiences, the calendar for the week, and more favorite carols you've never heard before. Thank you for joining us on Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?, a radio magazine from Alternatives for Simple Living. Alternatives was begun over 30 years ago to help people find happiness and meaning in life through relationships rather than stuff, by getting to know ourselves, our family and friends, our beloved Earth and all its inhabitants, and especially God. You've been listening to the fifth of six parts of the radio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?, featuring the scene Thoughts While Not Listening to the Christmas Story from the pageant What Does Jesus Want for Christmas?, plus the classic Story of Jason, also known as Jason's Birthday. The text for all these items are available through the links in the show notes. Go to simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. You're welcome to contribute to this year's online edition of Whose Birthday. It will be updated as new material arrives, so send ideas and items anytime. Prepare something now while it's really on your mind, such as art. Art that depicts the tension between faith and culture, especially at Christmas. Or personal experiences, especially intergenerational ones related to simplifying Christmas or finding meaning and happiness in relationships instead of stuff. Or family activities, rituals, or faithful ceremonies for Advent, Christmas, or Epiphany. We reach many through our website, blogs, and other media. Sorry, we cannot pay for any submissions. To read the complete submission guidelines and past editions, use the link in the show notes. We've received wonderful positive response to Simple Living Works podcast. Charles Kyle, Ph.D. of Education Policy, Strategy, and Program Assessment, wrote, "Hi, Jerry. My wife, Diana Aranova Kyle, author of Till Justice Is Done, and I are also justice activists. Thank you for your beautiful gift. Best always to you and your family in the Lord. Charlie Kyle, Chicago." I'd like to add a personal note. After receiving Charlie's note, I recommended Deanna's book for my local public library, as I frequently do for recent progressive titles. They ordered it and received it, so I get to read it first, and then it's added to the permanent part of the collection for others to learn from as well. Try that with your public library. We don't need to own or collect books to enjoy them. Till Justice Is Done is a story of the elimination of the death penalty in Illinois. It is a classic example of the first life standard of living more with less. Do justice. Earth Mama wrote, "Thanks, Gerald. I really enjoy listening to the podcast and will order the Choose Justice DVD. That's the one with Tony Campolo and Shane Claiborne. I will also tweet and post the link. Thank you for spreading the word about the new Sense of Place CD. I think it will fit with your audience as well. I really appreciate you posting it wherever appropriate. Blessings and best, Joyce Earth Mama Rouse." Earth Mama provides some of the theme music for this podcast, especially in episode number 2. Find her contact information in the show notes. We've gotten more positive responses to this podcast than we can mention. Read them at the bottom of each episode. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to feedback@simplelivingworks.org or post something on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes on our website, simplelivingworks.org. Click on window number 3. In addition to this podcast and its show notes, we blog several times a week on a variety of Simple Living subjects. Click on blog at the top of the show notes for each episode. We hope you'll read and subscribe. The Simple Living Works blog is the companion to this twice-a-month podcast. The content is different, though, of course, the subject is the same. Much of the Whose Birthday series is also available in Spanish text. So please share it with your Spanish-speaking friends. See the link in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org. Click on window number 3. Once again, much of this Whose Birthday Is It Anyway series on this podcast is also available in Spanish text. As one of the early and long-standing supporters of alternatives, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, known as the ELCA, has pledged to keep a copy of each resource produced by Alternatives and to make copies available by request at a nominal cost. The archive staff can help with your reference inquiries, whether they are genealogical or historical. Feel free to contact them at the office near Chicago. The complete contact information is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org. Click window number 3. In episode 11, I present the final part of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway, featuring the retro classic, The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge. Time to wrap up episode 10 of Simple Living Works podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. We want to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the blogs we post new each week. Subscriptions are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Remember to like us on Facebook and urge your friends to do the same. We do not solicit or accept cash donations, nor do we sell anything. All of our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Provide your email address to receive our monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to John Pitney and Earth Mama for our show theme music. Find details in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org. Click on window number 3. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage at simplelivingworks.org. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.